Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Woo! That was close. That was a close one. In one of the more, one of the least enjoyable games as a fan, the Steelers pulled it out last night. I think they just got another roughing the passer call.
Yeah.
Another illegal hands to the face. I mean, whatever you want to throw, just throw it. They're guilty of it, I'm sure. You can just figure it out after. Just put the flag on the ground, guys. And then just call something. There's eight of you out there, so some of you will come up with a someone will come up with a penalty that sticks. So before I get super negative, let's open with the positives. Fantasy goodness all around. As a Steelers fan, you breathe a sigh of relief at the end of that game. Fitz comes storming back on them, a 30-10 lead at halftime, completely evaporated. The Steelers ironically shut out in the second half. It'd be nice if their kicker showed up. They only gave him a huge extension about a month ago, exactly a month ago, and he can't seem to hit extra points or field goals or anything. He's got a penchant for the upright, though, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's what he's aiming for. In
twice,
this scenario where he's
game.
Aiming for the upright, he's a great kicker then.
Yeah, I know. It's just deadly accurate if he's aiming for the upright. So Boswell actually missed two. It made the game even close. Like, so for me, as a fan, I'm panicking because they can't stop anybody. That's obviously a huge problem for the Steelers defense. Yep. Right now they did a really nice job of getting pressure, but when they weren't able to get pressure, Fitz really did pick them apart. To their credit, they have tried to address this. Artie Burns, who's a first round draft pick, got benched last night for Cody Sensabaugh, who's a journeyman corner, and it is clear why. They are still struggling, all of them. Sensabaugh, Burns, all of them. They can't cover anyone, and I understand that there's good receiver talent in Tampa, but that was sort of embarrassing. But nonetheless, they got shut out in the second half, which was kind of surprising. That being said, we had tons of fantasy goodness last night. That game did go over. I thought it was going to go under. I thought the teams would hold each other a little bit more than that. I still expected some points. I think my prediction last night, I went on Gabe Morency and Cam Stewart show Game Time Decisions. I think I said like 28-17, 30-20, like in that kind of wheelhouse. So I thought there'd be some points, but not that many. And obviously the quarterbacks go nuts. Roethlisberger 30 of 38, 353, three touchdowns and a pick. Fitz 30 of 50, 411, three touchdowns, the three picks, which put the Steelers in a good position. But Ben's first half was off the charts good. 21 of 25, 273 in all three scores, Dane.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome back, Blewett. We broke down a lot of games yesterday. Good to have you back in the chair.
Thanks,
absolutely. As you know, I picked one of our picks going into this week was I had the under in this game. And honestly, I really thought the final score of this game was going to be 30-23. I thought that at 30-20, I thought they were going to get, you know, instead of that last chuck up to Mike Evans for the touchdown, I thought they were going to get stopped, kick a field goal. I thought the final was going to be 30-23 when the DeSean Jackson punt return got called back. I thought I had a reprieve. But enough about me. Ben Roethlisberger, 353 yards and three touchdowns. Ryan Fitzpatrick leading the NFL in passing yards with 400 yards plus in all
fantasy
three
football
outings. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry, Jameis. You do not have a job. I'm sure you're back in the building, but your job is to hold the clipboard for the Fitz magic. If anybody going into the season with that schedule, Saints, Eagles, Steelers, thought that the Bucks would be, you know, tied for first place at 2-1 in that division, I got a bridge I can sell you as well. So definitely the quarterbacks go off. Definitely the over happened. The Steelers get back up on the good foot. You know, it looked to me, Mike, like, you know, this was the Steelers and Big Ben specifically kind of like backed into a corner, the wounded animal that's very dangerous kind of thing. That's what I thought. My biggest question for you on the Steelers, because I have been talking about this guy in the whole offseason, and then it didn't really happen. It went in the other direction. But is it now time to realize that Vance McDonald can be a weapon for this offense? I was talking about Vance McDonald going into the season. I've been mentioning a lot of times this idea that he was the guy in the playoff game against Jacksonville. But, you know, yeah. Jesse James has had a nice start to the season as McDonald was banged up. But could this be an evolution here? If anybody who can stiff arm like that and go 75 yards down the sideline, I want as my tight end, Mike.
Yeah, tremendous play. It's probably going to end up being the highlight of the week. That and the Pat Mahomes scrambling throw are the two sort of highlight plays that jump out. But Chris Connie got knocked out of the game basically because of that. Vance McDonald manhandled him and ran for the touchdown. I was in a DFS contest last night. In one of the Monday night showdown types, and you get a point and a half for your captain on DraftKings, and the winner that won $5,000, only $3 entry contest, the winner had Vance McDonald as his captain. So right. He had both quarterbacks, he had Vance McDonald, so nice job by that guy. But I think you do look at Vance McDonald probably to take the primary role. They obviously are comfortable throwing to James, though. People will famously remember him technically not catching the ball against the Patriots, but they looked in the late game last year. But they obviously looked for him in a spot. The good news is that they have a wealth of options there. I would suggest that Vance McDonald is the primary tight end target. I heard you and Scott talking a little bit in the first hour of Roto Experts, and I think you can look for him on the waiver wire. As we've talked about a lot, the tight end position is often a mess. But I think Vance McDonald can stabilize it more than guys like Will Disley. And I've talked about Jake Butt, who I still think is addable in certain leagues. But I think Vance McDonald is a little bit more reliable. You just have to understand that there's going to be a Jesse James touchdown or three every once in a while. It's going to happen. They're going to look for him in some two tight end sets, even though they were running a lot of 11 personnel last night with the three wideouts out there, James Washington with a few catches as well. I want to take a look at his snap counts because they seemed to be down last night, but why would you put him in when the offense was rolling? You know, the irony of that second half is the Bucs come out with a really long opening drive there in the half and only get the field goal. The Steelers
like
then come
minutes,
back.
Yeah.
The Steelers come back with a long drive and got nothing because of that missed field goal. So we continue down through the stats here. Well, first
that's
of all,
when I thought my under had a chance, blew it when the Steelers missed that field goal. I was like, maybe I do have a shot at this under.
They did if the two guys, Sensabaugh, was it Sensabaugh? I can't even remember who the safety was. We're just staring at Evans.
Number 28. He was in there around. He was
staring
around a lot of the ball, yeah.
Staring at him. I get it's a double move and it's a nice play by Evans, but you're staring at him. He's wide open. He's the best player on the whole team. So anyway, let me pause here and say that BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI is now offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit if you use promo code FNTSY. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. So we continue down through. Fitz obviously has the big night, the three picks. I was watching Tim Hasselbeck after the game last night. He was breaking it down. He said, first one, not really his fault.
Got tipped.
Donovan Smith missed the block on Bostic that allowed him to come free, which led to a deflection and then ultimately the pick. The next one was total miscommunication between Mike Evans and Fitz, so it's an overthrow. Could be Evans' fault. I don't know. I'm not in the room. I'm not in the playbook. But it seemed like it was Evans' fault because Fitz threw it to a spot where there was nobody except a Steelers defender. And the third one I would put on Fitz. He was pressured heavily, but I think he's got to know, I got to chuck this or take a safety because he just kind of threw it up there. Even though his hand got hit on the release, I thought that was a mistake to try to get rid of the ball there. You can't just wildly chuck it, even though it worked for him in some instances last night. He can't wildly chuck it when you're standing in your own end zone. I'm putting that one on him, but the other two you can possibly explain away. We got Mike Evans here with 6 for 137. Obviously a big night here, and I was looking at just sort of seasonal stats so far, Dane. Mike Evans is a top 10 player in fantasy football, and he was the guy throughout August whose draft status really started to slide in some drafts that I was in. It got a late bump up because people thought he was falling ridiculously low. But people that drafted Mike Evans and took a shot are being huge benefactors of what's gone on in these first 3 weeks with Fitz, the only guy in NFL history to throw 400 yards three games in a row.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who got lucky and had Mike Evans fall into their lap as their wide receiver too. You know, Mike Evans was being drafted as what, like wide receiver 11, 12, 13, something like that. People were going ahead and getting both Vikings wide receivers ahead of Mike Evans. Absolutely. This is a kind of one of those prototypical big body red zone X outside wide receivers. And so, you know, on some level, he was going down when people were like, oh, it's going to be Fitzpatrick the first couple of weeks. But as we've seen, Fitzpatrick is actually a bump to a wide receiver on some level because he's just going to sling it. You know, the only thing I take issue with out of what you said, Mike, is you're like, you know, he can't throw that ball. Yes, he can. That's what he does. He's made an entire career out of throwing that ball. That's why it's called Fitzmagic. And that's why you, I, and everyone else said that the magic was going to end at some point. We all said to people who wanted to ride the wave, go ahead and ride it, but you know he's going to start throwing the ball to the other team eventually, whether it's tipped, whether it's bad decisions. We knew a three-interception game was going to come, and he did it better than that. He did it all in one half.
Yeah, so Juju, that guy is returning big time for you right now. 11 targets, 9 for 116. He doesn't get in the end zone, but still a monster night. Antonio Brown was Antonio Brown. Yeah, a fairly muted stat line with 6 for 50, but he had a highlight reel 27-yard touchdown on the 9 targets. I thought he was a good citizen during the game, after the game. Look, he is a knucklehead, and he does like the drama, but at the end of it, he usually ends up coming out and doing mea culpas and being pretty good about it. It's just that it keeps happening. So what, you know, if somebody keeps screwing up and keeps apologizing, at some point, can you just stop screwing up? Now, he's not the type of guy that it would ever get released because he's too damn good. He's the best wide receiver in football. But he was pretty good about it. And Susie Colbert and the crew, Lewis Riddick and Steve Young, they asked him pretty pointed questions about it. He towed the company line, and he said, we're about the business of winning games. And I thought he was pretty good about it. Like you said earlier, to keep going through this, Vance McDonald, 4 for 112, the 75-yard touchdown on the 5 targets. Jesse James only saw 1 target. For those of you panicking about James Conner, do not. 20 touches last night for the 95 yards, so he didn't get in the end zone. So what? If I can guarantee you that a guy in that offense is going to touch the ball 20 times, especially the way the defense is playing, you better sign that guy up in the first round every time.
Yeah. I own James Conner in a number of leagues, and I'm okay with the 14, 15 points I got in PPR settings. I'm not complaining about James Conner at all. To be quite honest, what I got to ask you, I don't know if this is where you want to go, but you're a Steelers fan. I'm a Jets fan. There's reports here in New York on the Daily News that the Jets are the team potentially interested in Le'Veon Bell.
I know they have specifically about Le'Veon to the Jets. It's something that makes sense. They have cap space.
They have the cap room in order to do it.
It is a complicated trade, though. It is complicated.
Because they're able to potentially negotiate with him, things of that nature.
They can't sign him long term.
Well, but here's my thing. I've been always looking at teams like Houston or Indianapolis more because the Jets just went out and invested money in Isaiah Coel. I know he's no Le'Veon Bell, and if you have an opportunity to get Le'Veon Bell, you go out and do it. But if I'm Le'Veon Bell, you know, the Jets sort of fit a team, you know, a team that maybe is still on the rise where you have an ascending quarterback when you're in the prime of your career, so I get that. But I don't know if that's where I would want to go if I was Le'Veon Bell. I'd rather Houston, personally. But what do you think about that, the Le'Veon Bell reports? At least the Steelers are now saying that they will answer the phone on this.
I'll say two things. The positive thing for the Jets is that I think your pitch to Le'Veon can be, you're going to play in New York. We're going to sign you to a long-term extension after this year. And we have the roster makeup that is building towards a Super Bowl run. Your old team has an old, expensive quarterback, and they can't stop anybody defensively. Right. We have a young defense. We have a quarterback who is going to learn how to play, and next year he'll be even better. And we're going to look like the Rams next year because we're going to
and a lot of recording studios in New York City.
Yeah, that's right.
He can be a rapper.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's a good pitch there for the Jets. I know we laugh about it, but that's a thing for him, obviously. If you're riding jet skis in South Beach and having EP parties, then you can do that in New York, too. You're going to be the star that Odell Beckham is. That kind of pitch is what can happen for Le'Veon Bell. But on the flip side, I do get the sense that Le'Veon, as much as he might even be a good citizen for the Jets for the, let's call it 10 or 6 remaining games, whatever it happens to be, I get the sense that he wants to do the world tour, which I'm not critical of. I get the sense that he wants a bidding war, and I want to go to Indianapolis and Houston. He didn't play in Indianapolis. Houston or New York or whatever other city is looking for him. I mean, maybe.
The window's not as open. Rodgers is a little older, but you got a decent offensive line there.
They got 3 running backs I think that they're trying out. I also don't think it's a very popular destination for high-profile free agents. It really hasn't been. So,
less recording studios in Green Bay than there are in New York.
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe the least popular city for all these guys. But in any event, that's the deal for Le'Veon. Since I won't get too negative on this. Obviously, Godwin, we had that last night. You know what? I'm going to start my rant about the officials after the next break, but we'll close it out with Godwin. He has a really good night here, 5 for 74 with a touchdown and the 10 targets. However, as I'm watching the game, and it could be it looks like a good night, but I'm telling you, I didn't think it was a good night for him. He only caught half the balls thrown to him. He was not sure-handed last night. He dropped. There were 2 instances that Jason Witten called out, and he was definitely right on one. The other one was a little bit tougher. He dropped 2 potential touchdown passes, and I just think that they already have a guy in Mike Evans whose catch rate isn't the greatest, or it isn't with Jameis. I think we're seeing an improvement here with Fitz. And then you got Godwin here, who, I think Scott Engel and you have a point in saying that he's a much more reliable fantasy player because he's going to see a heavier concentration of targets. I just get worried about him dropping passes, and he fumbled last night.
I hear you on that. He did drop some balls, 1 for a touchdown, definitely. I saw that. But to me, this is more the targets. The 10 targets are there, twice as many as Deshaun. And it's more, Blewett, you know, everyone with the Chicken Little sky is falling under the reactionary. Everyone's so intrigued by Deshaun Jackson after his big week 2. And I'm just like, yo, calm down. It's really the sustainable thing is Chris Godwin.
And by the way, Fitz has 70% clip on the year, 70.2%. Only Drew Brees, I think, is better at 80%. We're going to come back, and I'm going to lay into the reps. It's Mike and Dane on FST. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
We're back on FST, and if you're hitting us up on Twitter, please do so at FSGSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Dane is at Spittin' Speeds, SPEEDZ. Thanks for listening on TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio, and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. If you downloaded our app and you're listening for free, please subscribe and rate us. So thank you for joining us this morning. Getting through the Steelers, I'm going to do a little bit of a rant here. Really fantasy goodness all around last night. I think the only person that no-showed you was probably Peyton Barber. They gave him some touches, but nothing really that turned into anything all that big. He didn't get in the end zone, and they're obviously they were trailing. I mean, this is a game script one too, where even if I don't have a lot of faith in Peyton Barber anyway, but this was a game script issue as well. The Steelers just blistered them in the first half because of the
but Mike
Fitzpatrick.
With Fitzpatrick under center, it's like it's not a game script for just one game. This is the way the Bucs are now, you know. So I wonder, is it okay to cut Peyton Barber?
It depends who you're cutting him for. I think we're going to talk about some wide receiver options a little bit later. So if you have enough depth at running back and you feel like you want to add depth at wide receiver, like a Calvin Ridley or Tyler Boyd and some of the other options we'll talk about a little bit later, then, yeah, I think it's possible. To your point, Fitz likes to throw it. I saw somebody's tweet last night. I think it was Michael Salfino, who I played against in the Scott Fish Bowl. I pulled that one out. He said that for a non-athletic quarterback, Fitz is about as good a scrambler as you're going to see. He likes to run every once in a while. Yeah. I mean, he had 5 carries for 27 yards. Peyton Barber had 8 for 33. And Barber, no catches either. He's targeted twice. Sean Wilson actually had 2 catches out of the backfield, as did Jaquizz Rodgers. But yeah, Peyton Barber's not going to be particularly valuable when Fitz is there. He threw the ball 50 times. I think even in a game where they're leading, he's going to put the ball up 40 times. They don't have a great run defense right now. They don't have a great run blocking scheme right now. So I think they did an okay. They didn't do a great job. Let me retract that. They didn't do a great job of protecting him last night, and it just put Fitz in the situation where he was chucking it all over the place. What I really wanted to rant on was the officiating, and I'm at a point. I've been at a point for the last 2 years where I don't think it's the officials' fault specifically. Yes, they do miss things, and yes, I can criticize. And just like in the NBA, these athletes are too good, too big, too fast to see everything in real time. Instant replay has become something that it was not intended to be, where we're slowing things down to a microsecond to understand if a ball moved a half an inch or a blade of grass moved. It's not what it was intended for. But the real problem here is the overregulation of the league onto the officials. So they are in no-win situations. They're just trying to enforce the rule as it's being stressed, and now there's roughing the passer calls all over the place. There were 4 in the first half last night. I didn't think what McCoy did to Roethlisberger was that bad, although it did seem late. Ben got hit on the helmet another time, which he gets an Academy Award for that one, but it drew the flag. And then there's just roughing the passer calls all over the place. Do you really think the Steelers are that undisciplined that they get 13 for 155? That's the reason the Bucs were still in the game. The missed field goal and the missed extra point contribute, but 13 penalties for 155, that's a field and a half. A field and a half. And by the way, the Bucs had a huge penalty too, 9 for 80. They called back a punt return from DeSean Jackson because it did look like a hold to me. It was a hold. So, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for the Bucs, but my God, it's ruining the experience for 2 reasons. One, we have to stop and watch these non-penalties get called penalties, and then we replay it. And Jason Witten is like, that didn't look like anything to me. And Booger's like, you got to be kidding me. Booger was even complaining about the flags that got picked up.
Yeah.
So, and then secondly, no leads are safe now. And I get it that we're in the fantasy football business here. And the NFL is in the fantasy football business, and they want to keep quarterbacks safe. And quarterback is easier. I suggest that quarterback is easier to play than ever because you're barely going to get touched, and you get paid $25 million at minimum to do it. But I don't want to watch games where 17-point fourth-quarter leads aren't safe because Clay Matthews gets called for a penalty, or last night Stephon Tuitt gets called for a penalty. Drives are never over, especially when teams, and they should, are going on fourth down more than ever. I'm just saying it's hard to stop these guys on for 4 downs and not get called.
Yeah, absolutely blew it. I agree with you. I remember talking to Scott. I even put up a poll, whether it was on Roto Experts or on Fantasy Freestyle. I put up a poll being like, has the pendulum swung so far in this direction that it, A, ruins the viewing experience? You know, like you're watching and there's just so many stops and starts. Ruins the fan experience or the fantasy experience, to your point. Here's the other thing. You know, you say the no lead is safe, right? I mean, it's not only the roughing the passer, it's the pass interference, it's the hands, you know, yes, the illegal use of hands. It's just, there's so many. I think your point is really important in terms of no lead is safe. It's almost like how, you know, when you watch the NBA and they say everybody makes a run kind of thing. I think there's opportunity here for the savvy better. It, you know, I think, you know, live in-game wagering,
no doubt,
that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
You know, in live in-game wagering, it's the same kind of thing. Everybody's gonna make a run. If the way the game flow set up last night, blew it 30-10 at halftime. You know Tampa, you know how the game flow is going to be going. You know Tampa and Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be chucking it, right? Yeah, he might throw a pick, but he might also get extended drives from rushing the passer, and that's what happened. He might also get deep down the field pass interferences, and that's what might happen, right? So for live in-game wagering over at MyBookie or BetDSI or otherwise, I love that. The other thing, blew it, I think it has an impact on totals in Vegas.
Of course.
I think every game, you need to bump up the totals because of this. Like, it's all for the offense.
Yeah, so two things. One, you can always get a pass interference penalty. Always. They can just throw the flag. And you'll see, and you can go to a replay and be like, yeah, I did contact them, but I didn't think it was much. But you can throw it. So you can always just get that and extend drives. It mm-hmm. happens constantly. And to your point, it's a really good one because I actually had this specific discussion with our friend and boss, Mike Cardano. And he has been doing that a lot lately. You look at the – now you have to monitor these things completely. And you can do it with baseball. You can do it with football. If you look at a money line bet and let's just say – let me look at this week's schedule. You're looking at a money line bet this week. What's that? What's the heaviest favorite on the board?
A big one?
Is it the Patriots?
You got Pats minus 300. You have Green Bay at home against Buffalo minus 435.
That's perfect.
Packers minus 435 at home against the Bills coming off that win.
So you print out the money lines as the game starts. Maybe you've placed a bet before the game. Let's just say the Bills return the opening kickoff. Boom. Touchdown. Pack punted away. Josh Allen, a little magic. Boom. 14-0. Watch those odds come down. And yep. It could be 9 minutes into the game. The Bills are up 14-0, just like they were the other day. But the money line comes all the way down to even, or maybe the Bills now are the minus money.
Right.
Throw $20 down on the Packers. It's a 60-minute game. No, Vegas isn't telling you when this is going to happen, that the Packers are going to win, or when they're going to win by 7.5 points. They just think they're going to win by 7.5. So if you see that money line move all the way down in-game to plus money for the Packers, or at least thinner than minus 435, mm-hmm. throw $20 down. You don't have to win $1,000 every time you place a wager. Do that kind of stuff on the regular, and you're going to come out on top. It's not 100%, but we're not trying to. We can't predict things at 100%. So let's try to get it to 60%. You look at those money lines before the game, and as teams that are favored fall behind, watch the line move, and then you place a little bit of money. They'll come back. It's Aaron Rodgers, just like he did against the Bears. You know the kind of money line bet you probably would have had when the Packers mm-hmm. were down like 17 in week one to the Bears? You could have made a killing on it, but I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you to put a few bucks down and see what kind of money you can earn.
Yeah, and I'm talking about it in another way. If you look at the totals of the game, you know,
that too.
I think these totals, need to still catch up. You know how, like, you know, our DFS websites, you know, it takes a little bit while for their pricing to catch up to what we're actually seeing on the field, and there's an inefficiency there. I think you can do the same with these totals in Vegas. I mean, these penalties are extending drives left and right. You talk about how there's pass interference almost on every play. There's holding on every play also.
I agree.
They just don't call it on every play.
I agree.
You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick or anybody that wants to chuck the ball down the field, okay? There are, what, four different possible outcomes, you know, right? There's an incomplete pass, which is fine for you. Then there's only one bad outcome, the interception. There's two good outcomes, the reception or the pass interference penalty that takes you 35 yards down the field and sets you up in field goal range. These things are happening. When you add these roughing the passer calls that are happening on third and six and extending drives, it means more points. The NFL talks about player safety, but they're also in bed with fantasy sports and with DFS companies. We've talked about it before. They want points. They want production. They want fantasy stats. Chicks dig the long ball. Chicks also dig putting up 180 on their fantasy team.
You're like the anti Woody Hayes. His fame. It's not your grandfather's NFL. The Woody Hayes famous line was two. If you try to throw the ball, only one good thing could happen. You can complete a pass, or you can throw an incomplete pass or an interception. So that's the way it used to be thought of. Clearly not the case anymore. Penalties and the like make it a much more positive regression. So,
and rushing the passer calls you even get on these chucks downfield, because you got to wait. You know, you're taking your seven-step drop, and then you're kind of in this dramatic movement. Also, blew it. I'm not kidding around. I'm serious. Like an extended dramatic release, because, you know, you got to get it 40 yards downfield. That's just more body parts to potentially get touched by a defensive lineman and to get a flag on.
Yeah, between late hits, hits to the head, and landing on the quarterback.
Big Ben got like a forearm, touched his helmet, and he went down as though he had, you know, a concussion, and he drew the flag.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. So there's your tips. First of all, we hate the way it's being officiated, and I'm not blaming the officials specifically in a lot of the instances. There's way too much scrutiny on them, and the sport itself is overregulated. But Dana and I would like you all to take a look. You can go to whatever. You can go to a DraftKings app. You can do some live in-game wagering and take a look at what we're talking about there. Just watch it. If you're uncomfortable, don't even watch it. Don't even bet the first week. Just watch as these lines move in game. So let's talk about some waiver wire stuff, Dane. Actually, you know what I want to do first? I want to do the injuries. So because there's some major injuries that we'll have to address. This is really kind of part of us looking at the waiver wires. But NFL's biggest injuries, we all know about Jimmy Garoppolo. Quarterbacks to go out there and get are guys like, I heard Andy Dalton. I heard you say that. Other guys out there, let me see. I mean,
Baker.
Flacco.
Baker.
Mayfield. Yeah, Baker Mayfield would certainly be the most popular ad in all kinds of leagues, frankly. Two QB leagues, definitely, but other leagues as well. You got Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor is droppable now, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen is somebody that's now going to be thrust into the starting lineup. So we have four of the five guys drafted in the first round already starting. It's week four. Josh Rosen put in an impossible situation the other day, but it is what it is. He's the starter now. They probably should have done it earlier in that game, but they did jump out to a 14-point lead. Man, I thought about the Bears the other day, too. I would have won my survivor pool. But let me ask you this, actually, before we go back to the injuries. I'm in a survivor pool. It's a small one.
Yeah.
Just four friends. It's the same guys I did the over-under pool with.
Sure.
One guy lost on the Saints week one. The three of us... the other day, two of us picked the Vikings, one picked the Jaguars. So all three of us lost. Would you split the money amongst the three people, or would you reset it and keep going?
Ooh.
Between the three.
Right, so the three all got banged out at the same week, so there's technically like no winner, right?
That's right.
Or
three-way
do you
tie for a winner.
Or do you chop it? Because it is an odd number, because it is three, I would let those three people vote.
Interesting.
And see what happens.
I think we've already agreed that we're going to keep going, but I was on Gabe Morenci's show last night. He was
you could also.
He was in, hang on one sec. He was in, Gabe was in a pool where he had 12 people left.
Mm.
They all lost. So he's chopping up the money, and then they'll start a new one if they want.
That's interesting. The other thing I've done in the past, me and one other guy, this was more like week 10 or 11, and it was, you know, honestly, this one was for something like between $4,000 and $5,000, you know, so legit money blew it. And what we decided to do, we were two people left, and part of me, I looked at his kind of picks already, and I actually thought I had the advantage of the teams that I had left, you know, that sort of thing. And so what I offered, let's say it was $4,000. I think it was around $4,000. What we decided to do was chop – you know, 2,000 of it or 2,500 of it and play for the last 1,000.
Yeah, that's
so let's say it was 4,000. We each agreed we'll take 1,500 and we'll play for the last 1,000. Maybe you do that with the three of you guys. You all bank something and then play for the other, you know, third or the other 50%, something like that.
Get your money back and then play for the other. But we're going to keep going. It isn't a lot of money in this instance. It's like it's like an ancillary bet to our over-under stuff. So we were just doing it to have fun. It's interesting how I never really realized that there's different ways to do it. I thought Gabe, given the fact that he had 12 people and he's going to chop it up and start over again, I think that kind of makes sense. I would have kept going personally, but I thought Gabe's solution made sense as well. You can find Gabe on Twitter at SportsRage. So quarterback. So you can add Andy Dalton. You can add Baker Mayfield. You can add Josh Rosen. I'm even seeing Ryan Tannehill out there in some leagues. There's guys like Eli Manning and Joe Flacco that are addable as well, but I don't think people are going to be jumping to the waiver wire on that. Let's see. Other injuries. Calais Campbell.
AJ Green.
Out. AJ Green left with a groin injury, did not return. We'll see. He said he should be fine. He thinks he'll play next week, but he did leave the game and didn't come back. Muhammad Wilkerson out for the year for the Packers. The Rams, this is interesting because they're playing Thursday. Mm-hmm. Peters and Tlaib suffered ankle injuries. Aqib Tlaib is expected to be out. This is a high ankle sprain, and they're already saying he's out in a month. He's out for a while. Marcus Peters, they might want to rest him this Thursday. So the Vikes are in good shape if both of these guys are out. It's very helpful. If they can keep Cousins protected, these guys could be open. Evan Ingram will be out. Luckily, he avoided major injury to like a torn ACL, but sprained MCL, he'll be out a while too. You expect that's a month or more. Let's see who else. Richard Sherman out a few weeks. Ricardo Allen. This is a crazy one. Allen from the Falcons. This is now their third defensive starter that is out. He's the second one that's declared out for the year. They've left the door open on Deion Jones, but now two starting safeties, Keanu Neal and Ricardo Allen, are out.
You know, it'd be a nice fit there, Blewett? Thomas. He knows that Dan Quinn scheme.
Yeah. They're saying it's complicated for the Falcons, and the Chiefs are hammering the phones for the Seahawks to try to get Earl Thomas in there. We all know about the Cowboys rumor. So we'll come back. We'll do waiver wire stuff after this and update you on those last issues. It's Mike and Dan on FST. Join us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Rocking out. Chris Bavona producing today with the music. Good stuff. So Mike and Dan, we're back on FST. And I'm feeling energized. Dan just told me I went 3-0 on my picks. Sure I don't write them down, which is stupid. But I hit.
I could share you on this Google Doc, though.
You should. Yeah, please do that. I hit with the Steelers last night.
Yep.
Sweating it out. I couldn't even go to sleep last night. I get up at 5:30 in the morning every day. Yep. So we can prep for this, and I usually watch a game. Like, I have Game Pass, so I'll just watch a 35-minute condensed version of a game, like, when I get up. Just it's kind of how I start the day because it's impossible to watch them all on Sundays. But so I hit with the Steelers. That was, what was it, -1 at the time?
We got them at -1, yeah. It did, but we got them at -1.
Positive. And then I hit with the Packers-Washington over.
Yep, that was 45.5.
Yeah, and that didn't – not by much. That was like 48 they hit, I think.
Yeah, 31-17, I believe, yep.
So, yeah, there you go.
So you
and
hit
then,
that.
And then the Dolphins over the
Raiders. All hit with Miami -3, yep.
Which was a sweat, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling pretty good about my Raiders under, I'll tell you that. Raiders under 8.
Yeah, and then now they have Baker Mayfield and the rejuvenated Cleveland Browns coming to town this week for Oakland. So
yeah, I would love that. An 0-4 would be nice. And the way my over-under competition works is it does matter how much you beat the bets by. because the tiebreaker is the total away from the numbers. So say the Raiders go 2-14 this year.
That's 6 points for you.
Exactly. Exactly. So I need it to be as far away from the number as possible. Gotcha. In fact, the one that I think the guy that won last year, I think he tied, but what had him on the tie break was he had picked the Eagles as like his fourth pick, and the Eagles blew out their number last year by like six. So it does matter. The Lions, I have under. That was a shocking game to me. I think everybody's stunned by that. I'm not jumping off the Patriots bandwagon at all yet, but I'm going to have a decision to make after week five as to whether I keep riding the Bucks under 6.5, which I'm not feeling good about right now, or if I buy it out for the Patriots over 11.5, which I also don't feel good about right now. So that'll be a decision for me. As far as the Titans over, the Raiders under, and the Lions under, I feel like I'm still in position on those. So, well, good stuff. 3-0. I'm 6-3 on the season. Man, I should be placing these wagers.
You're a game ahead of me and two ahead of Scott. You're a game ahead of me, two ahead of Scott. I will say this, though, Blewett. I maintain the Survivor Pool lead. we can't even do this as a Survivor Pool anymore, right? Because now we've all taken a loss. You and me both had the Vikings, along with most of the free world, I would say, last week. I've hit two out of the three of my Survivor picks. You and Scott have only hit one of three Survivor picks this year.
So in my pool where I'm doing it with friends, I just mentioned that all three of us lost, so I hit on the Ravens, then I hit on the Saints, and then I lost on the Vikings. So, and the other guy lost on the Jaguars. So we'll see. Anyway, so I'm doing pretty well in my seasonal leagues. I went 5-2 this week. I think that's after a 5-2 week last week, and I went 6-1 in the first week. So overall, I'm in really good shape. I mean, I did the math last night. So if my 21 decisions so far on the season, seasonal, I'm 16-5 on the year. So I'm feeling pretty good. I got, you know, look, it's early, and I haven't even had to make a lot of transactions because the guys that I drafted are doing well. But we all know that'll fall apart at some point, an injury here or bye weeks that start. By the way, for those of you getting ready for the waiver wires, which we'll do now, Washington, Panthers Carolina, and Washington are out. So Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey, Devin Funchess, DJ Moore owners, I guess Ian Thomas owners if you really want to go deep.
Adrian Peterson, Jameson Crowder.
Yeah, that's right.
Chris Alex Thompson. Smith.
Yeah, Chris Thompson. Crowder had a decent game the other day. Crowder's been a source of frustration for me, but in any event, and Jordan Reed, those are the types of guys that you're going to have to replace. So let's take a look at what we got. We talked
about
some
injury
issues.
Mike.
No, all right, let's go. Who do we got?
We got Matt in Atlanta. His defense has been eviscerated by injury, but it's a Super Bowl pick, so let's see if he's still with you. Matt in Atlanta is on Fantasy Sports Today.
Hey, perfect timing because I have an issue with quarterback and the waivers this week. I'm in a 2QB league, and Cam is on bye, and I lost Garoppolo to injury, so I'm down 2 QBs this week. I have the horrible quarterback from Dallas Prescott, so I guess I can roll him in as one of the two, although on the waiver sitting out there is Flacco, Bortles, and Mayfield. I'm wondering if I should even consider dropping Prescott and picking up two of those. Obviously, I need at least one for Garoppolo.
I like Baker and Flacco over Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
I like Flacco. I mean, I own shares of Flacco's in two quarterback leagues. He's throwing the ball. He's spreading it around to his weapons. Buck Allen over, you know, Collins these days. You know, Flacco has performed better than we thought. I'm okay with Flacco over
Steelers.
Dak.
Steelers are Sunday night. Those games against the Steelers are normally tough, and it's
we've
a good
seen
rivalry,
the Steelers pass defense recently.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm okay with Flacco over Dak, and definitely Baker as well against Oakland, who is likely to go 0-4 in my opinion.
Bortles going up against the Jets. I don't love that, but I would do it too. I don't like the way. Look, they can throw in some read options there for Dak a little bit, but that passing offense is just it's still broken. Like it's just not. They're not in any kind of groove right now, and I don't expect Dak to be putting up big games. So the way Flacco has looked, there's a couple of games where he's had to put the ball up. So, yeah, I'm with Dane. I think you go with those two. If you think about it long term, I'd want to take a look at their schedules. I don't really have time to do it in the middle of the segment, but I'd want to take a look at what Bortles' schedule looks like for maybe the next month and take a look at what their schedules are like for the next month. But since you need something now, you're cutting Jimmy G, you're picking up Baker, and then Flacco is probably the streamer as opposed to Bortles for this week. But consider looking at their schedules long term, seeing how the buys line up. Also make sure they don't have the same buy so you don't get into another problem down the road. But you're going to get Cam back. So nonetheless, there you go. So that starts it off with us. Those are the quarterbacks that are out there in a lot of leagues. Baker, Flacco, and he said Bortles in that one league. Although I think Bortles in two QB leagues, as he's suggested, has gotten a little bit more popular here early. He had a big game against the Patriots, so I think it had people excited about it. Let's go to our next call. Andrew in Boston. Andrew, how are you?
How
are
you guys doing?
Andrew in
Boston. Andrew in Boston.
Can you guys hear me?
I can. What do you got, Andrew?
So what's Gronk's trade value right now?
Gronk's trade value. That's an interesting one. I think that if you traded him right now, you wouldn't get anywhere near the return that you should get. But if somebody out there gives you a legitimate offer, I'd like to hear it. Are you worried long term about Gronk, like, sort of being checked out on the Pats and that he's thinking about retirement?
Not that. I'm just trying to kind of restructure my team. I'm 0-3.
Yeah.
And I got Corey Davis and Larry Fitzgerald on my bench not doing anything.
Yeah. Dean, would you be shopping Gronk right now after a couple of lackluster games?
No. No, I would not. You drafted Gronk for a reason. That's to have your weekly edge at tight end. You know, me and Blewett have talked about it. We only did it once when we were forced into it because of the way the draft fell to us. But no, if you're 0-3, I understand trying to make adjustments, but I would look elsewhere. I would keep Gronk as like the one cornerstone of something that can be dependable for a team. I would look elsewhere. If I was Andrew, I might do things like try to package a 2-for-1 to try to upgrade wherever I am. Like, I don't know your full roster, Andrew, and we don't have time necessarily, but I would take like your flex-ish kind of guys at the wide receiver and running back position, see if I could package 2-for-1 of those and get a real wide receiver 2, something like that. But you got to look at the roster grid and see what other teams really have issues at running back or wide receiver. That's the way I would go about it. I'd keep my edge at tight end with Gronk.
Look, week two is a bummer. That game got away from them against Jacksonville, and Jacksonville dominated them. Similarly, I thought Patriots got gashed rushing defense. The defense is a problem for them still, and I think the game script just didn't go Brady's way. He didn't have a good night, and Gronk went four for 51. But it isn't the end of the world. He's still a top six tight end right now, and he's on the heels of really being in the top four. O.J. Howard blew past him last night, and Kyle Rudolph has had a decent start to the season. But I can't panic yet because we don't suggest that Gronk. I did think Gronk was going to be a monster with Edelman out. I really did. It's why Dan and I drafted him, but I'm not panicked yet. I do think you're going to have four or five more games with Gronk where you're like, see, that's why I got the guy. And I don't think he's going to beat Kelce this year. I think Kelce's the top tight end based on the way this offense is playing. I think he's just going to keep getting fed. And people panicked about Kelce after week one because he only had one catch, and now he's got two 100-yard games in a row. I think the style of that offense and the fact that their defense doesn't really stop anybody is going to favor them all year. So let's stay at that position, Dane. Let's go to the transaction trends. You've mentioned Vance McDonald is the guy that we probably turn the page to. So thank you, Andrew, for the call. I wouldn't trade Gronk yet unless you're getting a huge haul for him. Jesse James is probably going to get dropped by a lot of people while Vance McDonald gets picked up. Look, this is always a fluid position. You know, Ben Watson has a good game, and people are like, oh, let's pick him up. And then Vance McDonald has a good game. Let's pick him up. I mean, I say the same thing every week. It is really a position you can stream at because if you can accurately pinpoint matchups where guys are going to see red zone opportunities or teams can't cover the tight end well, i.e. the Steelers, what Kelce did to them and what O.J. Howard did to them. And by the way, Howard, the easiest prop bet of the night last night, and I talked about this with Cam and Gabe, was O.J. Howard over 34 and a half yards. He nearly had it in the first quarter. Bostic knocked a pass out of his hands at the end of the first quarter. And then Howard disappeared off the field for a while, and they threw a touchdown to Cameron Brayton. I was like, where the hell is O.J. Howard? But sure enough, he comes back in. He's 6 for 72 last night. But my point overall, Dean, is that you can stream tight ends if your league has some guys out there and just work the matchups all the way throughout. I don't think it's your best option, but you can do it and remain in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, the one guy I'll give out at tight end that might be available, I see him owned in only 50% of leagues, that I think is a step above that, is Tyler Eifert. If Tyler Eifert is healthy, and now with A.J. Green a little bit banged up, we've seen the improvement of their passing game, and they have Atlanta this week, Mike, and we've talked about all their injuries in the back seven, right? So I like Tyler Eifert as more than just a streamer as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah, running back, you're going to look at guys like Chris Ivory and Javorius Allen, Buck Allen, and Chris Carson, who had a nice game last week. I'm sure he got dropped by people and now is getting picked up again. At wide receiver, we'll see names like Tyler Boyd and Calvin Ridley still being added. And down the line, we can go over it. Jordy Nelson, we can go over it more tomorrow as we get a little bit deeper into waiver wires. But plenty of stuff out there today. Go to rotoexperts.com for more information on the waiver wires. Dana and I will be back on Thursday. You got Scott and Dane tomorrow. Have a good day, everybody. Good luck.